Wonderful. The recording has begun. So welcome, welcome everyone to February 2021 LHON Live and happy Low Vision Awareness Month. You're listening to LHON Live with your host. My name is Andy Marks, here with
Jessica Loomer.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, Jessica. Each month we hold all of these calls, and I'm so glad to already know that we have a bunch of new folks here. I'll give you a little background on what we chat about and the format we like to use. But as I mentioned earlier, as folks were joining, we're always welcome and open to feedback. So let us know if you have it. I had the pleasure of meeting Jessica back in 2014, in June of 2014, in Pittsburgh. I know we have some folks from Pennsylvania here tonight, at the LHON conference that year. So we quickly realized how powerful it was to meet and connect with other people who have LHON, because while we all live very different lives, we share this one very common and unique experience. And most of us don't interact with people like us, is the word phrase I'll use, frequently or in our day-to-day lives. So when we get the opportunity to connect with people who live lives similar to us, it's really a powerful experience. And we realized that summer how meaningful that was, and frankly wanted to find a way to spread that benefit throughout the year and not just have to wait until June of 2015. So in August of 2014, we had our first LHON live call. And since then, we've been doing it every month for 70 plus calls at this point, where the formats have changed over time. But in general, that benefit of connecting with people who share a very common experience in a different part of the globe has remained true. So each month, we bring a few different popular topics from our LHON Facebook group to chat about here. We ask you any feedback you have or any advice or tips you have about the topics we speak about. But there are just a few things that we tend to steer clear of, if possible. Those include employment advice, legal advice, medical advice. While those things are certainly things that come up, we're not experts in any of those realms. So if you have those questions, feel free to ask them, but we most likely will point you toward proper experts instead of ourselves, because I know little to nothing about those things, as many of these calls as I've been on. But with that, Jessica, how are you? How's February going for you?
Oh, there we go. Here I am. February is going pretty good. It was 66 degrees here in Denver, Colorado today, and we expect lows in the single digits by next week. So, you know, just kind of taking each day at a time and enjoying each season we get as throughout the week. So
every day, yeah.
So far, so good.
Wonderful.
Yeah, how's North Carolina?
Not bad. We had flurries yesterday, so I called everyone in New Jersey and New York who I work with so they could commiserate with the flurries that I had here in North Carolina after a couple of feet of snow they had this week. But it's been good. Nice to have some family time here. But I'm still working. I'm sitting at my desk that I've been sitting at all day. So let's chat about things other than my work. First of all, I wanted to mention,
speaking of February. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to tell you that speaking of February being low vision month, I think it's actually the 28th of February. And I was like, I should have looked up this date. It's actually Rare Disease Day. I always take this day to buy myself a present since I have a rare disease. And I highly encourage everybody else to, you know, like whether it's a cup of coffee that you wouldn't normally buy yourself, you know, as we celebrate our rare disease. So I hope everyone joins me in that.
Yeah. And if it's not February 20th and it ends up being like February 22nd, I encourage you all to buy a present on both of those days.
exactly.
The more the merrier. Exactly. I mean, one thing, as I started seeing posts about Low Vision Awareness Month this month, the thought I had at first was like, okay, like there's a bunch of these days. What is special about this one? What is special about low vision as opposed to some blind awareness something or some disability awareness something? But the reason that I'm like really keen to recognize Low Vision Awareness Month is, without trying to do so, it highlights the spectrum of blindness, which I think is really necessary. Whenever I see people talking about blindness and there's misconceptions or any list of misconceptions about blindness, usually the first or second one is people not understand that blindness is a spectrum, that the word blind doesn't mean total blindness, that a lot of people who carry canes and or have guide dogs can see something, have some degree of usable vision, or if it's not usable, have some degree of vision. And so without even trying to do so, I like the phrase Low Vision Awareness Month. And whether it's meaning to or not, it's ability to hopefully educate on that one single thing.
No, I totally agree. And I think that's super important to kind of, because I think everyone kind of has this perception, you know, of what does blindness mean. And so it definitely creates the awareness. And just to correct myself, Rare Disease Day is Sunday, February 28th. So, I mean, what better day to buy yourself a present than to celebrate our rare disease? I'm still on this. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Definitely. So now you have 2 days. The incorrect day of February 20th, and then you have more than a week to actually prepare for the actual day on the last day of the month. So
perfect.
It's a very rare day being the last day of the month on the 28th. So that's the way I will choose to remember it.
Perfect.
But yeah.
But I'm fine.
One thing I'd like to call out, because we have so many new folks here this month, as I mentioned, we tend to draw many of the topics we talk about from our Facebook group. Which is the group that's called Leber's Hereditary Optic Neuropathy. And then it says LHON, and then it has the word blind in parentheses. That's the group we draw a lot of these topics from. However, in preparation for these calls every month, Jessica posts a reminder post. I'm going to use that word a lot probably here, with a blue LHON Live logo. We found that that color is most visible to the largest group of us. However, it's usually the post from Jessica at the beginning of each month. So that's easy enough to find. But in the comments there, we tend to ask people if there are specific topics they'd like us to talk about. And every month until this month, no one said anything. But this month, someone, and I'm not going to name the person, but actually did have a question. So I want to make sure we talk about that. It dives, or at least touches on, a sensitive area that frankly is going to differ state by state and situation by situation, but I think we do have some good advice on it. And Jessica, I'm going to paraphrase the question here, but the question was, how do people with LHON afford the technology that we use, that we're constantly talking about, CCTVs and computers and phones and these types of things that can really help us in our day-to-day lives being a blind person, but they're not cheap? And how do we afford those types of things? I'll let you go first.
Yeah, for sure. No, this question hit home today. So this afternoon when I got all of my tax forms in, and my iPad is broken, which just breaks my heart. I have no idea what happened. And I don't have a CCTV, so I had to use my phone, and that made me real grouchy. So gosh, if I would have had a CCTV or some sort of assistive technology. But yeah, it's expensive. What it costs, $3,000. So my one piece of advice, and I actually got it here, that I think is amazing, was Computers for the Blind. We actually talked about it a couple months ago. I actually had no idea, never heard of it. And after doing like a lot of research into it, it's fantastic. It's actually only here in the United States. So sorry to all of our out of United States friends, but awesome program where you can get a computer loaded with what assistive technology that you need. So I think that has been like my biggest takeaway, especially from this call, of how you can get, and it's actually free, of how you can get some assistive technology kind of right at your fingertips, especially for how expensive things cost these days. But yeah, what do you think, Amy?
Yeah, no, first I'll say that I heard about Computers for the Blind, both from this call, but also from a TikToker I follow called, I believe his name is The Baritone Blurred. But he's been doing a series kind of doing reviews on different computers that he got from Computers for the Blind, which I think is kind of an interesting series he's been working on. But generally, to answer this question, I would say there are different avenues you can go down. First and foremost, I think what you'll see a lot of folks here recommend is going to your state agencies, your national agencies, your large organizations, to see if there's something they can provide for you. Because if they can provide something to you, normally it's going to be paid for and not require you to pay anything back. So your Divisions for Blind Services, your Lighthouse of Central Florida, your something in New Jersey that I once knew. These organizations can do a lot for you. However, I'll be the first to recognize that they are not fast organizations. And this year, they're probably even slower than normal. And normally, they require a fair amount of advocating for yourself. So I encourage being a bit of a squeaky wheel with those organizations as best as you can. Where those organizations can't do things for you, and you cannot afford tech on your own, there have been times where I've seen people here have fundraisers, do different events to raise money to purchase devices for themselves or to have devices purchased for themselves. So I wouldn't say if an organization tells you no and you don't have the money for it, don't view that entirely as a roadblock. But that's the advice I can give you. And again, I end this with, it's going to be a case-by-case basis and depend greatly on the type of device you're trying to get and where you live.
Oh, and I'd also throw in, like, depending on your age, there's obviously like school providers and things like that, but especially depending on your age, and I say only say age is the thing, kind of dependent on what grant you can apply for. So oftentimes there's kind of like those specific windows of kind of specific population they're looking to hit, but there's definitely got to be a lot of grants out there that would be able to kind of fully assist as well. Annie and I were talking to a friend earlier this week that works with he founded a nonprofit that works with high school kids and has grants that way. So that's why I kind of specifically said a specific age bracket, because yeah, if it's maybe a high schooler that would be able to kind of apply for that grant and could put that funding towards that. But I mean, check out ASB, NFB, you know, there's probably a lot of cool grants that way.
Exactly. If you are school age and or college age or scholarship type recipient, there are lots of resources for there as well. But also if you are either looking for a job or trying to get a job, one thing I should add here, if you are trying to get technology and you're employed, and you're looking to get technology that you would use for your job in some way, even if you'd also use it outside of your job, I would go to your employer. These employers should be providing, the ADA would call it, reasonable accommodations. And most of the things that we're asking for, CCTVs, Zoom text, JAWS, a portable reader, these types of things, maybe an app on your phone like KNFB Reader, these types of things are all reasonable accommodations that could be provided by most employers. And I would encourage you to do something like that, even if you end up with some technology, like I have an iPad through work, but do I ever use it outside of work? Sure. And I think that's okay. But I encourage you to go that avenue as well. I recognize that asking for things from an employer when they, and I know many people here and even people who are cited, feel that your employer has already done this amazing thing by giving you a job, but recognize what you're doing for that employer as well, and that you deserve that job, and that you are adding great value to that company. And by providing this technology to you, they're allowing you to be more productive and more efficient and give more value to that company. So they should want to provide this type of technology to you, where it's something you would use for work. So I'll get off my soapbox, but I want everyone here to feel very empowered to go to their employers the way I do, when there are things that they could provide that would make you a better employee for them, a better asset. With that, if there's anything else you want to add on that, Jessica, I'll move on to another topic here. And this is one you know much more about than I do. We don't plug individual podcasts here often because there are a number that come across our, I'll use the word desk, but there was one this month that caught my ear called Careers for the Blind. And it caught my ear principally because they had a special guest named, I think I'm going to pronounce this correctly, Jessica Loomer. And she talked about her career journey since losing her vision. Jessica, I think you know her. Can you tell us a little more about the podcast and where folks can find it?
Yeah, for sure. So what I really love about this podcast is the host, his name's Harrison, he is actually was diagnosed with RP. So obviously not LH1, but his mission is really what struck me. So as he was diagnosed with RP and super successful guy, might have mentioned, like, great career, has a wonderful family. And so as he was getting diagnosed with RP and just kind of as he progressively loses vision, he wanted to kind of, and I think we all can kind of relate, like get to know people, network with successful people, get to know other people within the blind, low vision and blind community, and kind of hear like, hey, it's going to be okay, you know? And I think that's like a lot of the benefits that we get from these calls, from regional calls, from conferences, you know, especially all of that, that's kind of talking about there's so much to kind of be excited for, so many things that we can kind of think about that we can really still do. There's so much that we can still do. So his mission was to kind of get out there and make it careers focused and kind of talk about, talk to other people from professions, from, I mean, A to Z, you name it, and just listen to successful people that are kind of talking about their career journey and what information he can kind of use as takeaway to kind of learn from. And then obviously as kind of like a double bonus, be able to post it so others can learn from it as well. So it was fun. We had an absolute blast on the call. Everyone, my feedback from a lot of people has been, Jessica, you didn't talk as fast as you normally do. And I was like, it's because it was 9 o'clock at night. And so they're like, oh, you must have not had much coffee. And I was like, again, it was at 9 o'clock at night. We did this podcast. So it was pretty funny. So that was a lot of people's feedback. And he actually said, you talk really fast. And I was like, oh, you have no idea. But it was really kind of, it was such an honor. There was quite the lineup. So there's already, I'm the 20th episode. So there is quite the lineup of really awesome, successful, blind, low vision, visually impaired people. And so cool to be part of it and got to kind of share my journey and kind of talk a little bit more about just, I mean, you know, like the real life career aspects of like what really sucks about it, what you have to learn, like interview skills. And not to say I definitely have the magic bullet and know exactly about it, but I'm able to kind of share my experience. And the key is I just would love someone to learn from it. And if I can help somebody kind of along their journey, that's exactly what I was looking for to kind of share my story for. And of course we talked about running and so yeah, and it was actually funny. So I posted it on my LinkedIn and my my VP listened to it pretty quick. And so he's just like, I wish every employee could have a podcast and I could learn how much they love their job, was his response. And so poor it was Jill. Really cool. Yeah. I mean, obviously didn't do it for like bragging reasons. I really do love my job. But I'm just extremely thankful for the journey, you know, and so it's cool to share. So check it out. Awesome. There is another person featured with LHON on the podcast as well. So check him out for sure. But so many different industries, so many different professions. And he actually plans to post one podcast a week. So keep it consistent over there. So check him out.
So just to recap, it's called Careers for the Blind. Yeah. And for those who have some vision, usable vision, or would have someone help them, it looks like it has a black logo with white typeface. It says Careers for the Blind, and episode 20 featured Jessica Loomer. We'll keep moving here, Jessica. I saw an interesting topic discussed in the group this month, which is something I always love talking about, which is preferred language. I know there are different groups, frankly, different organizations that have different recommendations on the type of language that should be used when talking about disability, when talking about blindness. Some groups would tell you that the preferences differ by region or by state or by country. I would tell you they differ by person and by time of day and by age and whatever. I mean, it differs for me by any number of things. But I'm curious your thoughts on preferred language. Are there things that you tell people to avoid? Are there things that you tell people to say instead of other things?
Yeah, it's kind of funny that you asked me this question because I got asked it 2 days ago. One of the girls on my team, she's actually doing an internship with, now I'm totally blanking, some very large United Nations. There we go. How do you forget that?
So she's it is very large. Yes, you're right.
Right. with United Nations. And she is just kind of like, and this is one of her courses that she's talking about language. And she's like, hey, I have a quick question. Do you mind like if I ask you something personal? And I was like, sure. And she was just like, so what do you prefer? Is it blind or visually impaired or low vision? Or are you okay with using the word impaired? And I was like, that is such an interesting question. And I told her that's so funny, because I told her the exact same thing of what you just said. Honestly, it's by person. I'm like, I don't have a preference. I actually use the words interchangeably depending on my audience, I will say. And depending on what the context of the conversation is. If I'm looking to ask and request some sort of service, I will say blind, because it's more direct, because oftentimes people don't understand or don't know what low vision or visually impaired mean, versus blind. They're like, okay, she needs this extra assistance or things like that. But yeah, I told her that it was actually, I'm like, it's personal preference. And I said, my recommendation to you would be to ask each person what their preference is, so that you know how to address them going forward. And she was like, oh, that's so interesting. And she's just like, there's nothing, a guideline to follow. And I was just like, I mean, even if there was, I still think that all rules aside, it should still be personal preference. But I did tell her how I'll say, like, if I'm going to the airport or something, I'll tell them that I'm blind. I obviously have my cane with me, so I can ask for assistance. And then they'll be like, you can see. And then I kind of teach the, whoever is helping me, kind of like visually impaired versus blind, and kind of talk through it. And so they're like, oh, okay. But if I'm looking to kind of be a little kind of take the softer approach, maybe it's dating. Maybe I kind of use the word visually impaired, or low vision with dating, because I don't want to come across too boldly. It kind of depends on the situation.
I love the idea of like blind is like coming on too strong. But no, I mean, I think there are like lots of questions here. One, in terms of like, how do you describe your disability, which is kind of what you're speaking about. Is it low vision? Is it blind? Is it legally blind? I know some people feel more comfortable throwing on the legally, clarifier before saying the word blind, because they feel like people aren't going to tell them they're lying as much if you use that. But there's also a few other questions here. I mean, one, some rule of thumb would tell you that you should always use quote unquote person first language, meaning, hey, this is a person who is visually impaired or a person who is blind, as opposed to a blind person. Some people feel very strongly about that. Some organizations feel very strongly about that. I personally could not feel less strongly about that. I use the fewest number of words because I am Twitter. And it makes sense to say blind person for me sometimes. Sometimes I want to be, to your point, I want to come on pretty strong when I'm like making a case for some things, when I'm talking to maybe a division for blind services, and I want to be taken seriously. But there's also two other questions that are related to language that I find really interesting. There's always, I lately have been ending some conversations with like, see you later to some of my friends, very purposefully. One, because they think it's funny for me to say that as frequently as I do, even though I would naturally say that anyway, but also just to like let them know that like me talking about my blindness is something that I want them to feel comfortable doing too. And so I encourage everyone, like whoever asks, like there's nothing weirder than when someone asks you like, hey, are you gonna watch the Super Bowl? And then you can like, even though I can't see these people's faces, I know they're like crumbling inside as they're like, I just asked a blind person, but they're gonna watch something. How awful am I? And like, that's just, like, I don't want them to feel that way. I want people to feel comfortable asking these things. So when it, like most things in life, language lives and dies after the communication you have with someone. And communication is so key to learning and feeling better about things. So I think using sight focused language, like see you later, or can you keep an eye on that? That's all fine. The one thing that I do occasionally tell people to avoid so as not to offend someone is using, and I don't know, there's probably differences of opinions here, but sometimes I discourage folks from using the word blind as a synonym for ignorant. So there are times where people say things like, hey, we really shouldn't turn a blind eye to that, or we went into this situation blind. or this is, can you blind react to this? All of those phrases are using the word blind as a synonym for ignorant, which it's become the way people speak, but I think it's very understood if people take that the wrong way. And so where possible, using another phrase, even if it adds words, is maybe a nice thing to do. So if you're trying to find something to do purposefully, that's probably the only thing I'd really recommend. Anything you want to add on any of those points? I know I tried to make a few, Jessica.
No, I mean, I agree with all of it. It's so interesting because the couple of points that you brought up with the kind of using blind in like the ignorant context, when I'm, especially if I'm on a call and I'm presenting and I'll kind of point something out in reference, but I'm honestly pointing it out in reference if we're kind of talking about a specific report or something. One, because I made it so I know it's there, but two, I'm not looking at the screen. So I'm trying to like gear them and show them like what metric we're looking at. And the person will be like, oh my God, I can't see it at all. I'm totally blind. That's actually the only comment that I sometimes still cringe at, because I think it's just inconsiderate. Because you don't know your audience. And I mean, given every so often, depending on who the audience is, somebody within the crowd will be like, yeah, actually I am. And then that's weird. I think that's the only thing that like, there are so many things that I think that are, people have to communicate and have a considerate like opinion or how they address anybody. Gosh, your neighbor, your next door neighbor, the landscaper, your boss, your best friend, all of it. I think communication and considered communication is very important. And that's the only thing that really kind of still like irks me. And I've been blind for what, 9 years, 8 years? And that long later, was it eight? But for that reason, I'm just like, it's important to be considerate. Because you don't know who's on the other line or who's on that call. So,
yeah,
but yeah,
no. And I mean, there have been times where people have said things, and I encourage you all to where you feel comfortable and you don't feel as if you'd be putting yourself in someone's crosshairs, educate people on these types of things if they matter to you or if you think they matter to other people. I mean, someone who I know means to be very inclusive, and wants to be doing the best things and giving everyone a sense of belonging at work recently said something at the beginning of one of our calls. And whenever someone talks, sometimes on a Zoom call or on, we use Amazon Chime where I work instead of Zoom, but any video conference, sometimes you'll be a place where someone says their name before they say something. They're like, hey, by the way, this is Mary. And then they say what they're going to add. And someone else says, hey, by the way, this is Robert. And they add what they're going to say. And someone chimed in and said, hey, I don't think it's really necessary for anyone to say their names all the time because we all know who you are. And after the fact, I said something to that person and said, hey, I appreciate what you're trying to do because I know you're trying to be efficient here. But there are sometimes people who can't see as well on these calls, even if they're not blind. And it is helpful to have that context of who's speaking. So if possible, that kind of thing is helpful. So let's keep doing it. And I encourage anytime you get an opportunity to have those kinds of conversations or educate folks, view yourself as having context and knowledge that these people don't have, because that's exactly what you do have. And you're not only speaking for yourself, you're more often than not speaking for a whole bunch of people and improving the experience of the person you're speaking to. And if they're a good person, they will take your recommendation to heart. And will be very appreciative, like the person I spoke to was.
For sure. Yeah, that's a great point.
Move on. I know we've been chatting for a minute here, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap up here in a minute. But there were three different very related topics this month that came up, all related to recommendations for devices. And I'm going to dig into one more than the others. But someone asked about an accessible thermostat that people recommended. Someone asked about the proper monitor size, and someone asked about a thermometer. I'm going to quickly breeze through these first two, and then you can say anything you'd like as well. But talking thermometers, obviously they exist out there. Someone recommended one in the group, and I think that's a good one to go with. In terms of monitor size, I've seen people say there's really a sweet spot, and you can certainly get too big for most people who have LHON, because frankly, even if you're in the center of the screen, your vision doesn't even go as far as the other edge of the screen would be. So I tend to stick with a monitor that I'm working from that's roughly 27-ish inches or something in that realm, something close to that. Jessica, I don't know if you have strong opinions on either of those, and then we can chat a little bit on a thermostat.
I don't have any opinions on the thermometer, but I 100% agree with the monitor size. The monitor size that I have at my house is too small, and the monitor size that I have at my desk is beyond my vision, like field of vision. So I actually, it's wonderful. It's big. It's fantastic. Thank you for providing. However, I look forward and like whatever's in my peripheral, I don't even pay attention to. So yeah, there's definitely a sweet spot. So I 100% second the 27, 28 inch monitor.
What about thermostats? What's your opinion there?
No opinion. I currently use my magnifier on my phone to be able to put it up and down. However, my my thermostat is actually tactile in my apartment, which is quite wonderful. So given like the screen is obviously not tactile, but every other button is. So it's actually pretty easy for me to navigate. So that's been really helpful. If it just spoke to me, it would be the perfect product, but tactile is wonderful.
How do
what
you
about your new apartment?
How do you read your the temperature setting?
The little screen. I actually just use my magnifier on my iPhone, and then yep. I zoom in, and actually I'm able to like use a tactile button to at least press one of them to know, so it'll light up, so then I can kind of zoom in and take that picture. But in all honesty, I don't actually touch my thermometer that all that often because it doesn't, the temperature swings aren't too crazy here in Denver. So it kind of hovers at a good 63 degrees and it's pretty comfy. And if it gets cold, I put on a fuzzy sweater that I own right now. But yeah, it's
you said 63?
Yeah, is that cold?
I'd consider that pretty chilly for most people indoors. But I applaud your saving of the environment. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
No, I mean, I've had a number of different thermostats. I, too, use a magnifier on my phone. And for those who don't know, you can actually have it set so it lives within your, what is this, control panel, maybe? I forget what it's called. But so if you swipe down from the top right corner on your iPhone, that series of things there, like your calculator and camera and things like that, you can have that appear right there. So I go to that pretty frequently if I want to read something and don't necessarily want to take a picture of it. So I used to use that when I had a thermostat very similar to yours. I moved into an apartment where now I have a Nest. I should say I used to, because our Nest actually gave us lots of trouble. Sometimes one thing I've learned is when you have like more expensive, more frankly nicer technology, sometimes it messes up because it doesn't work well. So sometimes, although we're all big fans of technology here in the LHON community, there are occasionally things that mess up with better technology. And sometimes it's better to go with manual things than the other. So with that, that's the last thing I really want to talk about. Anything you want to plug before I remind people what we talked about and open up the call, Jessica?
Yes, absolutely. February is a fantastic big month for regional calls. And I actually don't have all of them up in front of me because my iPad's dead. But I can tell you that there are most of the regional calls. So if there's a region in your area that is popping up, all I can list them off the top of my head is actually New York, New England, Texas, Kansas and Missouri, California, Pacific Northeast, and Ohio. If there is a region that kind of has popped
Pacific
up in your
Northwest.
Area.
Yep.
What did I say?
I think you said Pacific
Northeast.
I made
up a new place. No idea where. Wonder where that is. Patrick, do you live there? But thank you. Pacific Northwest. So if you are in that region, there are a ton of calls that are happening this month. So definitely kind of tune in. If you are part of that community and not part of the Facebook group or have any information on your region, please reach out to the or look into put it in the LHON.org and see if you can get added. Reach out to me and so we can help you get you connected. And all that information will be on a Facebook page. So definitely check it out. But February is a big month for regions. So it's definitely a great month to come together.
Well, with that, I will let everyone know that we have these calls once a month. So I'm about to open it up to everyone, but I want to say this before we start getting background noise from everyone out there. We have these calls once a month, and your next one will actually be March 3rd. So it's always the first Wednesday of every month, if I'm not mistaken. That's going to be March 3rd, yes. 8 p.m. Eastern here on the East Coast of the United States, 5 p.m. Pacific. And it's always the exact same login, exact same phone number. So if you're here tonight, I anticipate you know how to get here next month. With that, I'm going to get ready to invite you all to unmute and ask us any questions or provide answers to any of the questions we talked about. As a recap, we spoke about Low Vision Awareness Month. We talked about how people in with LHON can get different expensive technology. We talked about the Careers for the Blind podcast. We talked about language. And then these three devices, thermostats, monitors, and thermometers, thermostats, and monitors. Those are an interesting thing, words to say in order. But with that, I will invite you all to unmute. The call is still being recorded right now, but I will turn the recording off if you have a question you want to save at that point, for that point in time later. But for now, we're going to keep the recording going. You can either unmute using your touchpad on your phone or using your Zoom app, which many more of you are using these days.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, this is Mike Sanchez from Massachusetts. I did Mike, my introduction welcome. Earlier. But I just wanted to connect and say I appreciate, you know, everything you guys spoke about tonight. I wanted to introduce myself as well as what I'm working on. I myself have LHON. I've been with it for 13 years. Some of you guys in the group might have seen me post in the past few weeks or so, but I created a page called New Vision 2020, where I'm out there, you know, I'm a real estate entrepreneur, and the goal of my page is to help rebuild the confidence and education in our community. And by, you know, my real estate ventures, I'm looking to close my deals, whether it's a rental or a flip, and give 25% of what I generate in net profits to the nonprofit in order to do things like what was mentioned today, where if someone who's visually impaired can't afford a CCTV, an iPad, a braille display, what have you, I'm looking for my nonprofit to step in and pick up that bill. You know, and I'm also, you know, working on recruiting more people in my industry of real estate to, you know, be more aware whether they're sighted or not, and be aware of the struggles we face every single day. You know, in the past 2 weeks, I've been able to connect with people from all over the world, you know, Pakistan, England, Africa. I have a couple interviews up on my page already. If you want to check it out, it's called New Vision 2020, facebook.com/NV2020. But again, you know, I wanted to reintroduce myself, let you guys, you know, see what I'm doing. And if people want to connect afterwards, I'm looking to host more interviews so you all can share your stories.
Mike, thank you so much. Welcome. And Thanks for sharing, plugging, and all the great work you're doing.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
I think it's time that blindness should be considered a symbol of strength instead of weakness, as we do have to persevere through obstacles that sighted people can't even imagine. And through that, you know, we all are able to show our own inner strength. And it's time that we communicate together, create one voice together, and make a change finally.
I appreciate that. I love that sentiment.
Absolutely.
Absolutely agree. We're here with you.
Thank you. Thank you for sure.
Any Hello. Other questions or comments from it? Go ahead.
Hi. My name is Nilesh, and I'm connected from Switzerland. This is my first time in this group, and it's nice to hear wonderful things from you and see all these, I see 28 people connected. And the wonderful effort that you guys are doing. In fact, the reason why I'm over here is because we found my wife was diagnosed with the 117A8 genetic mutation last Friday.
Sure.
And our children, they're 4 and 8. So we still don't know if they are carriers of this mutation, and our world has been shaken because of what we have learned. So tomorrow we are going to do the optic nerve test, and check the eyesight of my children. Well, like my daughter is 4 years old and my son 8. And
so
we don't know anything about it. My brother-in-law, he is a low vision person, and they diagnosed his loss of vision very late, related to LHON, and that's how my wife did her genetic test. So I have a question, maybe, since do you think, based on your experience and all the knowledge that you have, is it to our advantage that we know that my wife is a carrier before the onset of LHON in our children? And do you think that we should get the genetic test done for our children to know if they are carriers?
So I'll give you a little something here. And Lissa, if there's anything you want to add, feel free. But first and foremost, Neela, I just want to say thanks so much for being here and joining this group. I know you're going through a difficult time. And all I can tell you is that all of the people you'll hear from tonight, me included, went through a difficult time at some point in time. And there's lots on your mind and lots of information out there. And I encourage you to digest that information at whatever pace is comfortable for you. A lot of that can be found at LHON.org. And you'll find lots of the information that I share here there as well. That said, because your wife is a carrier of LHON, your children, according to the research, are as well. Because they are her children, they definitely are carriers. That doesn't mean they will be affected by it. That doesn't mean they will lose their vision at any point in time. Doctors can't tell you that will or will not happen from a test anyway. But there's no need, from the research that I've seen, to do that genetic testing, because if your wife's carrier status is confirmed, theirs is as well. But that isn't anything to be concerned about. Yes, maybe that's an advantage, because maybe there are things you can do in their lives to be a little more careful. There's nothing you can do to prevent in all cases of ever being affected or losing your vision, but maybe it's maybe that knowledge is power for you. And I think different people would give you different answers to that question, but thank you so much for being here. And we're certainly here to answer your questions, whether you have them tonight or other nights as well. So feel free to reach out. Lissa, anything you want to add?
Yes, please go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to add on to what Andy said and affirm that while it's difficult knowledge to have, there are specific benefits to the knowledge. Like Andy said, having the mutation does not mean that your wife or children will lose vision, but it means they certainly could, whether you know it or not. Now that you know it, there are certain things that could increase or decrease the odds. So for instance, the biggest number one thing is being around smoke.
Yes.
So, you know, I know people that didn't know they carried it that were around smoke. If she's a smoker, she wants to stop. If, the kids, you don't want them to be around smoke, things like that. We have videos about carrier checklist, just things that you can know to avoid. So there's things there. And then you were also asking about, should they do the genetic testing? And like Andy was saying, the genetics are known. So most people don't usually do additional genetic testing. They rely on knowing, but each country is different. I don't know what they do in Switzerland. But in the US, a lot of the folks don't, they just assume that you are a carrier, but in some countries they do it, but it doesn't change anything at that point.
I don't know what's the protocol in Switzerland. Luckily my wife is a non-smoker. So even though she's a carrier, she hasn't, set in her vision. In Switzerland, we can do the genetic test because the doctor can prescribe it and we can go and get it done. We are also in contact with a doctor in France who's a specialist in LHON and loss of vision. I know you said before that you don't talk about medical advice or go down that lane, but I'm sure you, every one of you must have heard of the gene therapy GS010, which is they have requested for commercial use to the European Medical Advice and to the FDA also. So do you have any experience in that, or have you followed on this subject? Because it's just been a few days that I've been reading about it, and that's how I got into this group. And I really appreciate you that you accepted me to be part of this group and ask these questions. I mean,
Of course, yeah. I mean, first and foremost, I'll end responding to what you said there at the end. This is not an exclusive group. You don't have to have LHON, but love having you, and you're welcome to be here now and for any call you'd like to be here in the future. As you mentioned, I mean, we try and avoid giving really strong medical advice here. Yes, many of us are aware of, Lissa, is the GS010, is that GenSight?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. The gene therapy. Yes.
So yes. I mean, well, we are aware of that. There are some results that show that maybe it is marginally effective in helping vision. I encourage you to read those results, but they, I don't want to overpromise what that research says either. So, we can direct you towards some of that if that's helpful as well. Are you in the Facebook group, Nila?
No, in fact, my wife is in the Facebook group, and I'm not a big fan of Facebook. Sorry to say that. And I just...
No, that's okay. We find it a good way to communicate. That's what I was just...
Yes, I do. I really understand. I just, after 10 years, I think I logged again to my Facebook account to join this meeting today. Otherwise, I don't think so. I would have ever gone to Facebook.
If you look in the chat, I just sent you a private message there with my email address. And if you write to me, maybe we can set up a separate Zoom call and we can talk about it maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, that would be great.
Look in the chat for this, and I sent you a message with my email, and you can just send me an email.
So I'll join the group and I'll check the chat. Yeah, sure.
But I mean, I'm saying on the chat to this Zoom call right now on the Zoom.
Okay. Yeah. I see that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So just send me an email and we'll communicate.
Yeah, sure. I'll just send you a mail. I'll give you my mail ID now. So yes, because
that's wonderful. No, and just to let you know, you were speaking with the our best advocate when you talked to Lissa. So she knows as much as any of us. But thanks for your questions, Nila, and I appreciate you being here, and look forward to chatting with you more on future calls. Any other questions or comments from folks about anything we're talking about here, or also any of the things we talked about on the call?
Okay. If you don't mind, can I just add one more thing?
Sure.
Sure. Sorry to interrupt, but I work in the International Telecommunication Union, which is part of the United Nations.
Sure.
And we work in the telecommunication. Because of the COVID, I don't go to my workplace now. But
sure,
I can look into and see how. If it's possible, how we can get softwares which could be of assistance to low vision and visually impaired people. I can try to look into it and maybe share some information. I don't know about the US, but I can surely try to look into it and. Try to do something to,
yeah,
for someone who, you know, I know it's very expensive, these some of the softwares, and see if we can get a package,
exactly,
paid by the ITU
exactly,
So I can look into it, and but I might need some time. But surely we do quite a bit of work on this subject.
But, definitely. Yeah, no, I appreciate you doing that work, and we all appreciate it. So thank you, Neela.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Tom from the Pacific Northwest.
Hi, Tom. Welcome.
Hey, thank you very much. I'm not involved with Facebook. How do I get more involved with the Pacific Northwest group if I don't have a Facebook connection?
Patrick?
I would just send me an email. So my email address is doolittlepc@gmail.com. So it's DOOLITTLE. P as in Patrick, C as in Charles, @gmail.com. And I'll send you the information. We're actually having a call on February 18th or a Zoom video call. So I'll send the information for that.
Doolittle Patrick?
No, Doolittle PC. So Doolittle.
Oh,
and then PC. P as in Patrick, PC, yeah. P as in Patrick, C as in Charles, @gmail.com.
Okay. One last question, if I may. I'm relatively new to LHON. It's been 7 months for me. And I suspect there are people with vast years of experience here. And is there anyone that can say definitively over time that taking FNX has in fact helped them, or am I wasting my money?
I'm going to just say that before you even said the second half of your sentence, when you just said, is there anyone here who can say definitively, I was almost prepared to tell you no at that point, regardless of what the end of your sentence was, that there's no one here who's going to say much with confidence about any of those things. That said, I know there are people within the community who feel very strongly that something like taking a Debenone, which I think is what you're referring to, has been helpful in recovering some of their vision. That said, there are others in our community who didn't take Idebenone, who also had what we referred to as spontaneous recovery of their vision. So while some research suggests that it is helpful and most doctors would recommend it, no one can say, and I'll quote you here, definitively, that it's the reason they gained their vision back, as far as we know.
Well, obviously it doesn't hurt me. I was just looking for some, you know, something, some grasp to hold on to. I started taking it 6 months into my diagnosis, and I've been taking it ever since. And so I'm just curious.
But most doctors would say, I mean, it's most important and most effective there at the beginning, and encourage you to take it for at least a year as strictly and religiously as you can. And I'm probably giving more advice than I normally would for that answer, but,
well, I appreciate that.
Of course, Tom. And thanks for being here.
Well, Liz has been very helpful over email. And I just wanted to say thank you so much. And you guys have been a lifeline for me. I live alone and every day is a struggle, as you all know. And you've been very helpful. I just want to say thank you.
Well, thank you. We do it for people like you. So thank you for being here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
This is Mike Sanchez again. I'm going to be guy that just every 2 seconds I'll be in there. But I myself have had the 1178 mutation for 13 years now. I got my diagnosis when I was 17. The way I found out was I joined the military. And I'm 30 years old now. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. You know, I'm a father of a 4 and 5 year old, 2 little boys. You know, we still go sledding. You know, we live independently. It may sound selfish, but I'm teaching them early to do things to help me out later on. You know, that goes for, you know, laundry, cooking, you know, organizing, things like that. You know, so, you know, for those who are fresh to this mutation and for those who also have, you know, some type of connection with the 1178 mutation, you know, don't feel like there's no hope. Don't feel like, you know, you can do it by yourself or nothing like that. You know, there's a lot of skills out there for people like us, and there's a lot of services. But even if you don't have, you know, a service available to you or not, you know, just staying connected like this and seeing the motivation and seeing other people's success, you know, can do wonders. you know, for spirits and to keep hope, you know, not hope in the sense of getting your vision back, but hope in the sense of you can be independent and you can, you know, get yourself a business together and move on with your life. You know, I look at like this isn't the end of life, but rather the beginning of a new chapter. And it's a book I'm interested in reading.
Awesome. Thanks, Megan.
Hey, guys, it's Megan.
Hey, Megan.
Hey, Megan. Hey, so in terms of thermostats, we have a couple called Honeywell Home, and they actually have a really great app with them that goes along with it that works really, really well with VoiceOver.
Awesome.
Is there a model? I'm not sure the model, but it has like a touch screen on it, but then it also connects to an app. The temperature is pretty big on it, so I don't have to zoom, but I do have to zoom in when I'm changing the temperature on the actual device. But when using the app, it's just, you know, I'm just using VoiceOver. So it's pretty awesome there.
Ooh, that's great.
And then in terms of language, I was cracking up because I just did a YouTube where I kind of mentioned a lot of my gripes. And Andy, exactly. Some of what I deal with, like in the workplace of, you know, going into something blind or, you know, I can't see anything. Like I just pipe up and I'm totally vocal there. And I'm like, you guys know I am visually impaired and you're being totally insensitive. So I hear you on those.
Well, thank you. I love that.
This is Dana in North Carolina again. Touching on what she was saying about the language stuff, I have caught myself since vision loss still saying, I could do that blindfolded. And with vision loss, the only thing, because it basically is doing it blindfolded. And I've kind of stopped saying it now, but I still feel like it's not necessarily a bad thing because it's like almost a compliment to say, I could do that blindfolded because it means, you know, it's like enabling rather than disabling.
Sure.
Yeah, like it's that. Like it's more really of the, you know, referring to it as going into something, you know, with ignorance. You know, that's
yes,
why
I
know.
Like, it's, no. But it is kind of funny the things stuff. The things the word blind pops into that you don't even think about until you're totally. The blind person listening to it or talking about it and you go, wait a minute, that's not really the thing. Flying blind or, you know, all the little euphemisms with blind in it. And I like that I could do that blindfolded because basically, yeah, I already kind of sort of am.
I almost like that. Go ahead, Megan.
The other things I like just teach my friends and family is like, don't say this or that or point. Like, I will scream in that room where you're pointing or doing whatever because I can't see that. So,
yeah.
Just a good point today, guys.
I always say one of the biggest things we miss out on is making fun of people across the room that everybody else seems to do all the time, right?
Sure.
But I was just going to say that I think I'm fortunate because, you know, I lost my vision when I was 11. So growing up, you know, you're that age, you make fun of everything. So, like, I have other friends that were – I have a friend who was completely blind. So we just always made fun of it growing up. So it never really – I don't think language bothers me too much necessarily. You know, it's just it's interesting.
Sure.
The other thing, Andy, I was going to ask you. So you people actually have to have your cameras on your work meetings. You know,
we have all of our meetings are video meetings where I am. Exactly.
No, ours are too, but it's not, you know, like many days. There's no way that I'm putting a camera on the way I look, you know, sitting at home with my hair.
I think people may wish I didn't, but I tend to.
It's about maybe 1 in 3 I'll have a camera on.
Hey, good evening, LHON community. My name is Jeffrey. I'm up on Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts.
Hi, Jeffrey. Welcome.
Yeah, thank
you. Hi, welcome.
It's, you know, I have a long history of LHON in my family. My uncle got it in the 40s when he was 16, and he managed to live with it for 60 years.
Wow, good for him.
Became a merchant mariner, and he traveled the world in the engine rooms of ships, polishing the valve covers and oiling the shafts. And he sent home postcards from every harbor in the world.
That's awesome.
His sister, my mother, got it in 1990 and lived with it for 30 years. She was pretty productive too. And her sister also was diagnosed with it and lived with it for about 25 years. I became affected in 2019 in August, and pretty sudden onset was about 2.5 weeks. And I'm a captain, and I usually have about 1,200 people on my boat every summer, taking them fishing. So wow. I barely made it back to the dock one day, and my son, a captain, took over for the rest of the summer. But I'm leading up to tell you that over the past 15 months, I dealt with about 9 town agencies, 6 state agencies, and 3 federal agencies to get an aquaculture permit to grow oysters in the town I live in. We're going to be putting 200,000 oysters in the water in May.
That's wonderful.
And, you know, and that includes operating a boat. Of course, I'm going to have someone help me with that. But I work with the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind.
Sure.
Who serves 26,000 recipients in this state. And I have a tremendous support team there. My vocational resource coordinator and the information technology people, I told them that I needed a talking thermometer. And my vocational guy researched it. And because I need to take the temperature of an ice bath to keep the oysters in to bring them to market, because they contracted disease in hot weather. And it came up with a beautiful $49 point and shoot infrared talking thermometer from 0 degrees Celsius to 100 degrees Celsius, or, you know, 32 to 212 Fahrenheit.
212, yeah.
Yeah, so I was impressed. You know, I just wanted to introduce myself. And
I love your story, Jeffrey.
And thank
you. That's awesome.
And, you know, we lose our vision, we don't lose our lives.
Sure. I think it's powerful. I mean, you had stories about people who lived fascinating lives without vision growing up. And I think that a lot of what we have the, I'll say, responsibility or even opportunity to do is to be that for other people. They don't always have to be relatives of ours, but to show people how we live productive lives and exciting lives and fun, happy lives. So if and when something ever happens to them or someone they know, they have these stories to hang their hat on. So thank you for sharing, Jeffrey. I love it.
You see, the thing with my mother, she was diagnosed in 1990 prior to genetic DNA testing. She didn't get her diagnosis with LHON until 1995. And I was prepared for this. I knew this could come one day. So I'm an artist and developed a website too. So to our friend in Switzerland and others, that, you know, knowing this is power, because we can prepare in some way, obviously with vision before it strikes.
Would you like to plug your website, Jeffrey?
Islandfishprints.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Hey, Jeffrey, what type That's of really oysters cool. do you have?
What type of oysters? Crustacea virginica is a Latin name. It's just it's a typical regular Eastern oyster. We're going to grow bay scallops too.
Very
Where
nice.
Are you on the vineyard?
I live in Vineyard Haven.
Awesome.
Andy? I'm Jeffrey.
Did someone say my name?
Yes, Andy. It's Chris Herbst.
Hey, Chris. Welcome.
I was changed the subject just a bit. Here in Pennsylvania, we got 14 inches of snow, and yep. There was a. I noticed recently someone commented about glare, and what a problem it was for them, and is there a product out there? So I want to plug Axon Optics glasses. I responded, but maybe, Lisa, you could put the link up for those glasses. So we have all this snow, and the sun finally came out at 4 p.m. this afternoon. Since this is the first time we've seen the sun since Sunday morning. So the sun came out, and you can't open your eyes now with the snow. So I have my glasses on, and it really does the trick. So anyone out there who's bothered by migraines and the sun and snow and glare, I find these glasses very helpful. So if you were one of the folks that were wondering about glare and snow and lights and all that stuff that really bothers your eyes, I recommend these glasses.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris. I really appreciate it. The name is Axon Glasses?
Axon Optics. It's a laboratory in Utah that makes these glasses that there's certain wavelengths of light that takes out the wavelength of light that bothers our eyes with glare. And oftentimes this wavelength of light also affects our eyes when it affects photophobia, which is what we really suffer from, photophobia. And it also can start a migraine going on in your head. And I know a lot of us are affected by migraines. So actually, Dr. Sadoun at Doheny Eye Institute is the one who suggested these glasses for me. And
awesome.
Yes, I do not know how to put a link up on Facebook. I need to go to Facebook school. So I'm depending
on... That's okay. We'll get it taken care of. We'll make sure the accent...
Yeah, I know
glasses.
Someone who can do this for me.
It's almost done. Give me just one more minute.
Yeah,
I know someone who can do this.
Thank you so much, though. I think that's a great recommendation.
Yeah, I need... Andy, you need to take me to Facebook school. I probably need just a half an hour of your time, and you could help me with a few things.
Yeah, we can make that happen. No worries.
You can make that happen. I seriously need a few. I need a few lessons. they really are. And there was a time when, actually, it was at our last LHON conference when Axon Optics was offering anyone with LHON a 25% discount. So, if you are interested in these glasses, mention that to them and maybe you'll get a deal.
Okay.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And they also do sunglasses too. They do sunglasses or just regular glasses. So,
cool.
I find it's worth it. My gosh, I can open my eyes in the snow.
Well, here we go.
Got plenty of it.
You can go playing in the snow. That's awesome. Any other questions or comments? I want to be able to get to unlock the call or stop recording the call in case others have questions, but I want to make sure any comments or questions are included on the recording that should be. I know we're well past the hour, but we've had good conversation.
Mike Sanchez is back in here, if you don't mind. I had a question for you. I think your name was Jeffrey, was it?
Jeffrey in Martha's Vineyard, yes. My name's Andy.
Jeffrey. Andy, that's who I was trying to get a hold of. Andy, okay. You're the host, right?
Sure. Sometimes.
Okay. I want to connect with you offline. The woman just now who mentioned about, you know, Facebook and trying to learn. Jeffrey with the Oysters, you know, I want to try to learn how to be more active in this community. I'm pretty technologically savvy. And I want to input myself into community and help out, you know. So, I said, I'm good with Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. So, Andy, I think it'd be advantageous for me to connect with you and see how I could play a bigger role in helping out with some of these things. You know, I work with magnifiers. I work with VoiceOver on the iMac, the laptop, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So, if you don't mind, can you send me a message with your email address?
How about you just, can you find me on Facebook? It's Andy Marks. I'm in the group.
I'm sending a three-way message. You'll be connected in a minute.
Awesome.
Jessica, are you the one who I connected with Lisa last week?
Yeah,
I'm sure you connected with Lisa.
I did. Yeah. I did connect with Jessica last week. Yes, it's the same Jessica.
Beautiful. Yep. Very good.
Yep.
Yeah. Lisa and I spoke, and she knows I'm trying to
jump in here head first, you know, so I'm willing to take on any position. We need to help other people around us, you know, rise up.
I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks so much. Well, Wayne, did I hear you say something as well?
Yeah, I was just going to bring up monitors, like you were talking about monitor size. It's like I had a 28-inch monitor for maybe, I don't know, 5 years, and then it went bad. And I just felt maybe it was too big, so I went down to 24, which I'm using now. And so when this one goes, I will go back up for sure to, I don't know, whatever you know, 27, 28, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I think 24 and 27 are pretty standard sizes, and I've used both of those and prefer the 27 as well. So if we can call to a consensus.
I can, a third vote. I had a 40 and it was too big.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Nilesh again. Just listening to the conversation, since I work in the technology sector, I have friends who are highly tech savvy, you see. And if anyone needs any assistance with any kind of technology, I just shared my email. They can always write back to me if they feel free to. And if I can't, I can ask my friends, and we can surely help assist anyone who might be struggling with some kind of with some technological issue. You see. I do have good friends who are very highly technologically savvy. So if you need any assistance, just mail it to me. I've just given my work mail, and I'm sure I can get something done for anyone who needs.
That's very nice.
That's awesome. I appreciate you offering.
Now, this is John Chandler. I'd like to talk about LiDAR, about the new technology coming out of Apple. Has anyone used it yet?
Which is it?
LiDAR.
LiDAR.
Yeah, it's in the iPhone 12 and the iPad Pro, the new ones, and it's supposed to help identify objects and stuff. I haven't used it because I don't have the newer stuff to try actually.
I have LiDAR. The 11, because I have the 11 Pro. I don't know the new one, but could you? I don't know how to share my email with everyone, but if you put it in the email, I can ask some of my friends who might know something about it, and I can get back to you on how to get back to you about the value of this application or this new software they have come up with.
Yeah, I've learned about it. I was just recently listening to some kind of system, and they were like going through about it.
Yeah, Go ahead.
No, I'm actually upgrading to the iPhone Pro, the big one in like the next 2 weeks or so. So once I get situated with that on the next meeting on March 3rd, I'll be sure to share my experiences with it.
Okay.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Thanks so much for the question.
This is Megan again. I'm sorry. In terms of other, you know, assistant, the topic you started with as to, you know, what to ask for work and everything too, you know, you can also ask work for IRA subscriptions.
Exactly.
I have a couple applications that are not accessible at all with JAWS and Zoom Text. I just have a tough time with it. So I, you know, get on the line with IRA and they help me with a ton of stuff.
For those who don't know, IRA is a subscription service that relies on either the camera on your phone or external hardware that IRA provides you that allows you to basically connect with an IRA agent, which is a person on the other line who can help you with any number of tasks, whether it's looking through a yearbook you have, helping with some computer program that's not accessible, like Megan mentioned, or going to the grocery store or walking through the airport. So if you're looking for that, it's spelled AIRA, Artificial Intelligence Remote Access, I believe is what it stands for. Remote assistance, sorry. I encourage you to look it up. It's an awesome service, but it is paid. I should also say that there are services like Be My Eyes, which are less trained, less quality, but more affordable for those who may not be able to afford things or get work to provide them for you. So, but awesome. Thanks for plugging, Megan.
Yeah, definitely. It's a huge help in my daily life.
There's also another one called Seeing AI. I'm not sure if you guys heard of it too, but yeah, you could point it around the room and it'll tell you TV, lamp, things like that, you know, so that's another one. Seeing AI in the App Store.
Yeah, is that the one from Microsoft? Mike?
Yep, from Microsoft, exactly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This is Pauline Wilcox from Fairport. I just wanted to jump in really quick for a couple of points I wanted to make. First, Andy, I don't care who it is who's kind of being the, what we call you, the moderator today or whatever, right? You did a fantastic job of taking a minute to recap, like, here's what we discussed. You know, they always say, tell them what you're going to say it, and then sell them again. That was a really very helpful thing you did. Jessica, I'm just going to make fun because I think that you're going to look for any excuse to treat yourself and buy yourself something special. And so it's a good thing there's two different dates out there, right?
Well, we encourage that behavior. Yeah.
In general, I just want to send the whole group a virtual hug because listening to your stories is a mom of a son who's got LHON. I've grown closer to this community. The stories that I hear make me always feel more hopeful. We've learned things. I'm actually at the point that even though he does not attend these calls, I can talk to him about it because at first I would not even let him know that I was going to be logging in. But tonight I said, I'm calling you early tonight because I'm going to be on the LHON call. So I just want to thank you all. I love hearing the stories. And Jeffrey, I just want you to know I have a nephew who's a surgeon that lives in Boston, and he's a twin, and then a niece that's also a twin lives in Boston, so they're both there close to you, and just a wonderful family, and you guys are the extended family, so thank you so much.
Pauline, thank you so much for all your words. I love when people take notes and have all their feedback at the end, but thank you so much, and I've gotten feedback on not reminding people we talked about before, so trying to make it a habit a little bit, but thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Pauline.
You're welcome.
Any other last minute questions, comments before we turn the recording off? Of course, you can continue chatting then, but want to make sure any important questions are included here.
My only other comment was about talking about language, and that I agree with Jessica. The time where you're probably least likely to talk about it is on a first date. So
there you go.
That's true.
That's what you just go. Well, I don't see very well, but you know, you don't really explain it on the first date. Maybe on the second, if you're lucky to get to a third. But so when you said that, I laughed.
Right.
I think you mean if they're lucky enough to get to a third. But sure, everything else I agree with.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
This is Lisa from Canada. I just have to make a comment, of course. This call has been extremely positive, given what's going on in the world right now.
Wait, what's going on?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Yeah, well, I don't know. We can't get our hair cut, Andy?
that's true. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, but I just wanted to...
Can you see
the
video right now?
What's that?
No, I'm not on video right now.
Can you see the video? Oh, okay.
No.
I just wanted to say, you know, welcome to all the new people and, you know, all the extended family that's out there. Everybody has been extremely positive and helpful and supportive, which is what we all need, especially right now. And for all you new people, you've come to the right place. Jessica and Andy do an amazing job hosting this, and we couldn't be where we are without Lissa, of course, and everybody else. So I just, you know, I wanted to say thank you to everybody, you know, whether you be a carrier or not, or a friend that's on the line, just being there to support somebody that is affected or isn't, means the world. So I just wanted to say thanks for all that you guys do, and welcome to all the new people as well.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Lisa, for those who don't know, is one of our veteran listeners, been here since 2014, along with at least Wayne and Pat, Lisa's mom. So a few folks who have been here who are here tonight. So thank you to all of our longtime listeners, but also to those new folks.
Well, Andy and Jessica, Chris, you know I've listened to you since 2014.
Chris has been here since before 2014.
Sorry.
But yes.
Oh, you know, I just take you for granted. But no, Lisa's right. And Lisa too. So the newcomers, just stick with us because it's an awfully nice family. It's your second family. The second family you didn't know you needed or wanted. But
yeah, absolutely.
It's a second family that, and the second family you'd like to meet one day. So we have conferences. We hope we can have one again this year. So it's in the summer at the end of June. And if we're lucky this year, we'll get to have a family reunion again, which I'm sure we'll talk about it sometime again, but it's a really important event.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that.
This is Mike Sanchez. I guess one last time before you guys hear my voice next month. I just want to say thanks for having this. You know, it's helpful for a lot of people. I just want to say, everybody here, you got it. And if you guys want, you know, maybe we could challenge ourselves until the next time and, you know, do something out of our normal comfort zone, whether that's if you're newly visually impaired, you know, learn about Audible or learn about something different to make your life much more efficient. And if you've been doing it for a while, you know, visually impaired for a while, then you challenge yourself to bring it to the next level, you know. But I'm going to see you guys next weekend. I got the kids. And, you know, good night.
Good night. Awesome. Thanks, Mike. Good night.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
I know folks are going to start dropping. In fact, they already have. So any other, I want to have a bit of silence, see if there's any questions that are out there before I turn the recording off.
Well, this is John Chan again. Well, normally I was just asking about the LiDAR because I do go to an Apple meeting and I normally, the host of the Apple meetings, we bring in the latest toys and we get to play with them. So I haven't been in the meetings. So it's kind of when you don't have physical, you know, things where you can actually touch it and play with it, you know, out of the spectrum. So,
no, I understand, and I have an iPhone 12, so I'm going to look this up right after we're off this call. I am disappointed in myself for not being able to answer your question better, but next month.
Yeah, I have an iPad Pro. I was thinking the same thing.
Any other questions out there from folks? Well, I will go ahead and turn the recording off. Before I do that, I'd like to remind everyone, next month's call will, as I said, be March 3rd at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Same phone number, same Zoom link. If you have feedback for us, you can reach me on Facebook or Jessica on Facebook. Our names are Andy Marks and Jessica Loomer. Or you can, as always, email us at lhonlive@gmail.com. With that, I will turn the recording off and allow folks to continue chatting.
I have a question.